and UVM grad. Jack Arud, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good. I'm getting tired of this legendary broadcast crap. All that means is you think I'm an old fart.
I was going to say, that means only one thing. You're old.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it. Just,
you know, I mean, you know, you all are on the path to the same place.
we hope so.
I'm already there, but far from legendary.
Yeah, you know,
yeah,
Jack,
but you know, you're gonna be over there in the corner drooling, and then you know, Brady's gonna have to come in and give you crackers and milk.
We're almost there.
Yes, exactly. Jack, you've done a lot of college football, my friend. Kid, you ever thought of the day that college football would have no fans or partial fans out there? What do you think about that?
Look, we're in something that none of us in our generation have ever experienced. And, you know, I mean, you read about the pandemic, the Spanish flu, you read about, you know, each century, things that forced everybody. I mean, look, the pandemic, the Spanish flu basically ended World War I. we're in uncharted territory. And in a short answer to your question, I never imagined this in my wildest dreams, but yeah. I think it's, and I hate the term new normal.
Right.
But this is, I like to call it, this is the immediate future. And, you know, it's still, when this all hit, we knew a whole hell of a lot. What we knew was what we didn't know. And now we've got, you know, a better understanding. Now we're doing testing. Now we're doing all this stuff. In the short term, in the next year or so, look, it would not surprise me, to be quite frank with you, if by the time we get to January and it's time for the college football playoffs, that it's in an environment that is totally foreign to anything we've ever witnessed.
Wow.
Who'd have thought that NASCAR, as money hungry as they are,
yeah,
as an organization, you know, would stage races not only once a week, but twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
With empty grandstands. I mean, that's like going to watch Alabama play Auburn and there's nobody in the stands.
Wow.
Jack, that's a possibility, guys. Yeah. That is a distinct possibility.
I know.
Jack, is it safe to say there's no other fan-involved experience more than college football?
I think that's low-hanging fruit. I think what we have witnessed in the evolution of sports. Remember when I, you know, being a legendary broadcaster, being an old fart, I can remember when the number of stations that were available to cover things was ABC, CBS, and NBC. Fox wasn't even conceived of yet, and you know, cable, forget about it. When I got started, those were the three, and they were basically the kingpins that decided what was a popular sport and what wasn't, and certainly ABC did their share to make college football extremely entertaining. And then it was the fuel behind the rocket ship of ESPN and other, you know, cable coverage. But now we don't broadcast; we narrowcast.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of, you know, what is it, Bungalisa or whatever it is, that European football, you're just as passionate as the college football fan is. If you're a fan of IndyCar racing, the only one that I'm not quite sure of is how you can be passionate about golf.
Yeah, I agree.
I love that. He's 15 feet away from the putter, breaks right to left. Here he goes. You the man! You know, come on. I just have a real problem with it. Maybe it's because I can't play.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jack, did you ever have a negative sideline reporting experience? I'm curious if any coach ever blew up at you.
Oh, yeah. YouTube it.
Yeah.
John L. at Michigan State.
Yep.
At halftime, I go, Coach, what was that all about? And he went into a five-minute tirade. It was perfect. It was great. It was terrific TV. The other one that I'll never forget, and I love Bill Snyder. I always respected Snyder, and I just thought he was one of those guys that tended to every detail, including, you know, the pregame meal. If they contracted for butter, he was not tolerating margarine. it was Texas A&M and Kansas State for one of the early Big 12 championships, and Kansas State was the heavy favorite, and they were being blown out of the park.
Mm-mm-mm.
And at halftime, I said, "Coach, how do you get your arms back around this thing?" He said, "Well, Jack, we're going to have to make a ton of adjustments." And I said, "What might they be?" He looked me straight in the eye, and he goes, "Why would I want to tell you that?" He trotted off the field.
I like that.
And it created this whole brouhaha with print media. How dare he do that? And I had to call guys at the Kansas City Star and other places. Hold on, don't get ahead of your skis. It's a good question. Why would he want to tell me that?
I like that.
Jack Arute with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. Jack, we've asked you a couple of college football questions. I would say that's what I remember you most for. What do you think you're most known for in your career? Now, you've done so much.
It depends geographically where you're located. You go out to the Midwest, and you can't do 40 Indianapolis 500s and not be known, you know, for your coverage of Indy. You know, when that race is held on August 23rd, it will be my 51st consecutive Indy 500.
Wow.
You can't go to Anchorage, Alaska or Nome, Alaska and ask them, or they'll say, "Well, yeah, we remember Jack, you know, back in the day covering the Iditarod sled dog race."
Wow.
You go to the South, the Southeast, it's NASCAR. So it's more by geographic than anything else. But I will tell you the most fun I ever have. Now, this doesn't happen anymore because I'm a legendary broadcaster. but was when somebody would, you know, you know the commercial where that's the 40% man. That's the, you know, the insurance commercial.
Yes.
Well, you'd be sitting somewhere and you could hear a little bit and they'd go, "That's Jack Arute." "Nah, it's not Jack Arute." "I'm telling you, that's Jack Arute." "No, I'll bet you $10. And the guy'd come up to me and say, "Can you, excuse me, are you Jack Arute?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" "Jack Arute. Are you kidding me?" That was always fun.
They don't say, "Hey, that's Jack Arute. He used to do the World Luge Championships."
that was so much fun. And that was back in the old communist East Germany days.
Wow.
Okay? And we got to stay at a Soviet Dhaka, whatever the hell that was.
I was going to say, what the heck is that?
And not only did I do World Luge Championships, I did Street Luge. You know what Street Luge is?
Yes, I can
picture what it must be.
That's a bunch of doped up knuckleheads.
Yes.
That go down these long, steep hills. Then they decided to assign me the super modified snow shovel racing. Okay, so, you know, I let's put it this way. I'm not bragging, but I've seen the best and the worst, the craziest. The only thing I was never assigned to was yak screwing in Tibet. That's still on my bucket list.
You got time for that, though, Jack.
Okay,
yeah, I got. Well, I'm not sure how much time I got left because
since you're legendary. Jack, I do have to ask you, you talked about the Iditarod. You've got to have a strange story about that experience. And how logistically hard was that to put on?
Well, ABC did a terrific job. The original method that they used is they had contracted with some good, great outdoor cameramen that would go on the entire 1,000-plus miles and cover it all, and then that would be carted back to Anchorage, and that's where they would put the shows together. And, you know, my peers that preceded me stayed in the warm confines of Anchorage. At the time, I had been living for 15 years in Florida when they assigned me there. And like a dummy, I go, look, my technique is I got to be out there to see it and feel it. So when I covered it, I went the entire way, either by snow machine or by bush aircraft.
Oh, geez.
And I will tell you one thing. You do not know what cold is. You know, it's 60 degrees below zero.
Oh, wow.
And your bladder is screaming that it needs to evacuate. And you are not taking Fred out of 52 layers of clothes to do so.
I love it.
Jack, I got to ask you, you mentioned being known for NASCAR in the South. Have you come across other UVM grad, NASCAR president Steve Phelps, in your travels?
Oh, yeah. And we like to celebrate the fact that the UVM Catamount football has been undefeated since the late 70s.
Yeah. 75,
I think. 74, yeah. Coming back up there.
Not to UVM, it's not. But are you going to fund it to get it back?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I can give you the addresses of my three ex-wives.
Live from Jack Arute Stadium in Burlington.
Yes.
Hey, Jack, what do you miss most about your time in Burlington? I remember last time we had you on, you were telling us about some food places that we don't even know if they exist anymore. But what do you remember most about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that we don't have to go through the Sirloin Saloon and the Tower Restaurant and all that. But I will tell you the thing I do miss most. And I, in the midst of this entire social uprising is taking place right now. You got to remember when we were there, first of all, there were only 14, count them, 14 African-American students in the entire undergraduate student body at UVM.
Wow.
Got to remember that, you know, we were there in the late 60s and the early 70s, and guys weren't alive yet. But we were the first ones to have, you know, a say that we could affect change, that we wanted the war to end, that we wanted to see more equality. And we struck, and we marched, and we protested. And I'll never forget, you know, when the tragedy at Kent State University and the National Guard with the confrontation and, you know, four students lay dead, all of a sudden it became real. Hmm. You know, you look and you go, are you willing to put your life on the line? I don't mean to sound melodramatic, but that left a lasting effect in our generation. Do I miss it? No, I think what I do is I treasure those moments because they defined us for a generation. And in the midst of all this, I still do a few shows on Sirius XM, and I said it today on one of my shows. I said, please, all of you, keep in mind that we are all brothers and sisters, and that we can affect change. We can do it together.
Yeah.
There is no color barrier, but there is the unification to pursue common sense and peace and prosperity. And I think that's something that maybe a generation past, you know, I'm not a big fan of millennials. Because, first of all, I wanted to get them out of my basement. Well, you know, I just didn't understand where, you know, a $45,000 degree in Bengalese literature was going to be able to provide their family with a living. But I think this new generation is starting to pick up and say, we can change. I'm not a fan of all of it. I mean, I don't care that cows fart, okay? But by the same token, I applaud the fact that they're out there and they're demonstrating.
Yep.
I abhor the fact that people then take advantage of it to cause destruction and violence, because that's wrong. And it deters the message, much the same way when somebody, you know, when people marched on state houses, you know, because they wanted their state to open in the midst of a pandemic and they're toting an AK-47. Kind of takes away the impact of the message.
Well, Jack, you got to get back up here. We'll certainly go to dinner or something. It's on Ritz.
I can't. You don't understand. I can't. I've been banned.
What?
Okay? Bernie Sanders got passed in the state legislature. And, you know, I mean, I've gotten close. I snuck into Brattleboro just yesterday. and it was a police chase.
I love it. Well, if you ever do sneak back in, we'll take you to dinner. Rich will pay, and we'll go to the most expensive place in town.
Yeah, great.
Why should Rich pay?
I know.
The station to pay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm the old guy in this
because
group.
After all, when you put it on your expense account, you put dinner, legendary broadcaster.
Yes. Jack Arute, legendary broadcaster.
Oh,
coach.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jack. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll speak to you later on.
Take care and be